Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network. I'm your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest tonight, Mr. Anthony Zorich from the Hajduk Split Fan Club Los Angeles, as we break down Croatia in the 2018 World Cup. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Anthony, I want to start out with you first and ask you your ties to Croatian football.
Yeah, my parents were actually both born in Croatia, which back then was Yugoslavia. So I was born in New Jersey and grew up in Los Angeles, but always, you know, at home speaking Croatian and going to Croatian cultural events and also playing soccer like basically every other Croatian boy in the world. So it's just kind of part of our culture, I think.
Certainly a reunion of all three of us being of second generation. You know, Joe is obviously second generation Italian. Ante, you're second generation Croatian. I'm second generation Paraguayan. So it's definitely a mix of cultures, nevertheless. And of course, you know, heading into Croatia real quick, I do want to talk about their history. You did mention that they were part of Yugoslavia prior to 1994. And their first big World Cup, I think many people surprised of this whole thing, you know, with the generation that Davor Šuker being that top goal scorer in the 98 World Cup. They finished all the way to third place in France, and only narrowly losing to the host and eventual champions in the semifinals. But since then, they've qualified for four World Cups, three of them in 2000, 2006, 2014. They were not able to get out of the group stage. So I guess my first question to you, Anta, is, you know, heading into Russia, you know, what has been the vibe now, especially, you know, for such a really talented side like Croatia to make it to a World Cup once again? And of course, how important was that 98 win, or not win, but like that performance, finishing third, obviously a monumental achievement for the entire nation who, you know, were at war at one point. You know, how important was that moment in 1998, and especially moving on 20 years later?
Honestly, I'm getting some chills just thinking about it because it's kind of a magical time for Croatia as a country. 1998 meant we were 3 years out of the war, so the entire country was very much together, and it was just kind of you know, everybody was, the fans and the players and everybody was one. So it was really, everyone was very united, which was a really special time in the country. And right now there's a lot of I guess politics, there's friction between the fans and the federation, so the atmosphere is just not as good, even though our team is, you know, close to as talented, maybe as talented. You know, that team had a lot of leaders, that 98 team. And obviously, you know, we had some luck to get that far, but we were very close to winning the World Cup. When you look at the semifinals, we were the only squad to have a lead against France. And and we were up 1-0 in the second half. And two defensive mistakes caused two goals. So it was a very, very exciting time. And we were happy to beat Holland and win third place there in that third place match. But yeah, I mean, I think this team is very talented also. And it's been a large disappointment not going past the first round ever since that 98 run.
Now, Anthony, I want to jump into qualification and how Croatia got to this World Cup. They finished second in Group I behind Iceland, but in a somewhat difficult group, a well-stacked group with Ukraine and Turkey. Having to beat Ukraine on the last day, 2-0, last day of qualifying to get into the playoff round, where they then disposed of Greece 4-1 on aggregate to qualify. This team also was very, very good defensively, by the way, giving up only four goals during World Cup qualification. So an incredible feat defensively for them. What are your impressions of their qualification run? Were you impressed with their defensive capabilities, or do you think that the strength of this team really lies in the offensive capabilities?
I'll be honest with you. We started very well, and we had, I believe it was the game before Ukraine was, I believe it was Finland.
That's correct.
It was a last minute tie that they tied us. And then they replaced the coach, Ante Čačić. So they brought in a new coach. I think out of the previous three or four games, we had lost to Turkey.
Only beat Kosovo. And
then, we had another loss to, I think we beat Montenegro, and then we lost to somebody. We lost to Iceland. We had like two or three losses out of four matches, so it was a really bad run. And so, you know, and a lot of people weren't fans of that coach in the first place, like myself. Just he was a very tactically bad manager, and he was more of a favorite of Zdravko Mamić, who runs the federation, than a qualified coach. So ideally, the people wanted him out. So we actually got a coach that for myself that I like much better, that I think will do much better tactically, and have a better relationship with the players because he's more respected than the other guy. So that was kind of a big move. A new coach came in. We went to Ukraine, beat them away at a full stadium, 2-0. If we would have tied or lost, we would have been out. And then, you know, we a huge statement game against Greece and Zagreb, we beat them 4-1. So it was a really big turnaround from the atmosphere that was there leading up to that game against Ukraine, basically.
So obviously, looking into the nitty gritty real quick, we're going to talk about the group that Croatia was in, and really, it kind of seems like deja vu for Croatia, you know, heading into this big, really important, really hard group. Nevertheless, going into order of all the matches that they will first host Nigeria, one of the powerhouses of Africa, on the 16th, before playing many people have pointed out to be the favorites of this group in Argentina on the 21st, before finishing it off with Iceland. I'm actually going to ask this to you, Joe. I mean, obviously, many people are really looking at this group as a really tough group. You know, we've spoken to Suleiman about the capacity that Nigeria can have and really step it up against the big opponents. You know, Argentina, a team that perhaps hasn't been able to find an identity in recent times. But would it be safe to say that Croatia is perhaps the favorite in this group outside of Argentina when you're comparing the other two nations? And, you know, heading into this group, I mean, it's tough for all of them combined, but what do you think is the most important one for this Croatian side?
Well, it's tough to say that they would be the favorites aside Argentina, because their group mates, their qualifying team that they were up against in this particular round of qualifying is Iceland, and they find Iceland in this group as well, which I think in some ways poses an advantage and in some ways poses a disadvantage to the Croatian side. There's a familiarity there that sometimes is beneficial but is sometimes detrimental to the way a team plays. So, you know, I don't know that I can necessarily call them the second favorites, but I think it's reasonable and for reasons that we'll get into in a minute. Anthony, I want to pose the same question to you. You know, your thoughts on Group D for them and where you place them in terms of that group.
It's a challenging group. You know, I'm not very familiar with Nigeria's squad. I know that they have, I believe he's a German coach, and I think that's going to be a difficult match. I think the first match is going to set the tone. You know, if we can get 3 points the first game, things are going to look very good. But you lose that game and you have to go up against Argentina next match, the stress and the pressure might be a little too much. So I think that first match is very, very important. And I agree. Iceland, they finished above us in the group, but the atmosphere in the squad was catastrophic with that coach Čačić, and I think it really got much, much better as this new coach Dalić came in. So I personally think we're favorites against Iceland, but you know, anything can happen.
Well, you
anything
know,
can happen in one match.
Well, in qualifying, Croatia did beat Iceland at home 2-0. So I mean, there's like I said, there's
yeah, the... and they scored a 93rd minute winner at Iceland, which again we played a very bad match. The tactics were really, really bad. So the new coach has brought a lot of life into this squad, and I'm optimistic that Croatia is going to go through the first round, and then you know after that knockout, so anything can happen.
Sure. Now I want to jump in and look at the players to watch here as well. And I want to start out with the midfield, because this midfield is ridiculously talented, if you ask me. Captained by Ivan Rakitic, obviously at Barcelona. Mateo Kovacic, who's come off the bench from Real Madrid. We've got Marco Rog, who sees time at Napoli. We even saw him feature in the match against Juventus, which has really tightened up the Serie A race. We've got Ivan Perisic in there. We've got Brozovic. Luka Modric, of course, that that plays over at Real Madrid in that midfield. Really, the motor that makes that one run. This midfield is incredibly talented. My question to you is this, or can the argument be made that this is one of the most, if not the most, talented midfield on paper in the World Cup?
I mean, I think so. It's pretty, a lot of impressive names. You know, Dalic, he did one major switch, which worked out very well for us. What he did was, compared to Ante Čačić, he pushed Modric in the free role, the offensive free role, and brought back Rakitic to play next to a DM. Now, those Modric and Rakitic will certainly start. The one issue that for Dalic is who's going to start as that DM, because there's three players competing for that position. You have Kovacic, who is an incredible dribbler. You have Badel, who's at Fiorentina. He gives the team great balance, and we saw him do a very good job at the Euro. And we have Brozovic, who's looked much better in that role at Inter. So you have three players competing for one position. On the wing, one side, Perisic is definitely going to start. Mm-hmm. The other side is still a question. Dalic kind of played Kramaric as a winger, but that would kind of drift in with Mandzukic up top against Ukraine, and that worked pretty well. But, you know, Mandzukic started to score goals now. We have Kalinic, who's another forward, who could start. He's more technical than Mandzukic, and he looked very good against Greece. So there's a lot of decisions to be made.
Now, before I jump into my striker question, because I do have one more of those, Rob, I want to ask the same question to you. Given the talent in midfield of Croatia, where would you rank this Croatian midfield versus some of the best in the world?
It's really tough. I mean, I think they would be considered top five. It's midfield in general, of course.
Yes.
Perhaps the only few teams that I think are more stacked and of more quality in the midfield are probably Germany, just because they've always had that immense talent in the midfield, and probably Spain, to be honest, and that comes to no surprise as well, you know, that that those teams would be better than Croatia. But it does come to a surprise to maybe a lot of people that perhaps aren't able to notice that Croatia would only be third to those two teams, you know, and have better midfielders than England or Italy or Belgium, Argentina, Brazil, you know, or the big countries that are going to be playing in this World Cup. I mean, it's incredible that I wouldn't say big or small in general, but such a great country like Croatia is able to produce such incredible midfielders that are playing on amazing world-class teams all around the world.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I want to jump in. I want to ask one more question about the strikers, because, this is another area where they're quite talented. You know, obviously the likes of Mario Mandzukic, we've all seen what he can do at Juventus, some of the goals that he scored in Champions League. He seems to be able to do it time and time again. Nikola Kalinic, who kind of runs a little hot and cold at Milan, but I think is, you know, when you get the best Nikola Kalinic, you really get an excellent striker. They're also talented, for Kramaric, who you had mentioned just now, Anthony, over at Hoffenheim, who's another talented striker. But the one I really want to talk about is someone that I'm always gutted for, and I hope he remains healthy to be able to challenge and be a part of this
Piazza
team. Yeah, Piazza, Marco Piazza. It sucks because he's 22 years old. He is so talented. When he's on the pitch, he is incredible. But he's injured, the ACLs, and then that sort of thing. He's now getting his chance at Schalke, where he's playing pretty well. Does he get a chance going to Russia?
I was at the Croatia-Spain game at the Euro, and he was incredible. He was, for me, the best Croatian player on the pitch. And, I mean, for his first major tournament to play that way, that confident, and just to go, I think he was like 5 for 5 in dribbles that game. And he almost hit a bike. I was just like, this guy is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one of the things that the coach is going to have to decide. You know, do you play Piazza as a winger? And then who do you play up top? That's the thing. You have Modric in the free roll. You have Perisic on the left. I really like Piazza on the right. But then Kramaric, for me, is our best pure finisher. Mm-hmm. He's the best pure goal scorer. Mandzukic, typical target man, you know, big, great in the air. And then you have Kalinic, who's probably one of the best players at timing runs. Like, he's got a really good instinct on how to beat the, you know, the offside trap. So you have three very, very quality forwards. Now, is Dalic going to play with one of them or two of them? You know, that would put Piazza on the bench. It's difficult to say. We have to see in these two upcoming, I think we have two upcoming friendlies. I know Brazil's first, and then we play, I believe, Senegal.
Yeah, and also you also play Nigeria. Sorry. Actually, yeah, you do play Senegal in those two friendlies, Brazil and Senegal. So, yeah, definitely a good test for this Croatian side heading into the World Cup. Now, so heading into predictions real quick. Obviously, this team is immensely talented on all parts. So kind of a two-part question, Anthony. Looking at this Croatian side real quick, obviously it's a team that, you know, has failed to get out of the group stage three of the last times that they made it to the World Cup. So I just want to ask you, what do you think will be the big deciding factor for this Croatian side to get rid of that hump heading into what really is one of the toughest groups in this World Cup?
I mean, you know, we ever since 98, we always get to the third match, and there's always a possibility to go through. But I don't know if we can't handle the pressure or, you know, I think it was two out of the three times we played against South American teams or Mexico, and they eliminated us. So the South American teams, for some reason, I know we're 0-4 against South American teams in the World Cup, and we also have two losses against Mexico. So we're 0 wins and 6 losses, not even a tie. So that's going to need to change if we're going to make any type of deep run, I think, at this World Cup. That the third game is always a challenge. And that's one criticism of Croatian athletes is that all of us Croatians talk about is that we're a little bit that we could play with anybody. But when the game's on the line and the pressure's there, we're a little bit weak, a little weak in the mind, a little weak mentality, you know?
Absolutely, and of course they do have to face that South American side in Argentina. So that's going to be one.
Game, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be one more mountain to climb.
Challenge.
Definitely.
But I think it's up to the players. You know, it's up to the people. Need to lead, and that's one thing that we've been missing. I think since a player like Niko Kovac, who just got named Bayern coach, he was an incredible leader out on the pitch, and I feel like still, even though we have these top players. You know, we need somebody to really, like, you know, grab guys by the shirt and say, hey, everybody go do their job and let's beat this team and move on.
Do you think that player is maybe an influential player, certainly on the European stage, in Luka Modric?
I think Luka is, I mean, he's our captain, so he's very important, but he is kind of a little quiet guy, you know? I'd like to see somebody like Lovren in the back line get a little vocal. I think he could be a good leader out there. I don't know, for some reason I've seen him at Liverpool dictating, you know, the players, and I feel like he could be a good leader. But everybody has to, they all have to come together.
Definitely,
that's the only way you know something special can happen at this World Cup.
No, absolutely. It's going to be unpredictable nevertheless, but you certainly need to be smart about it in these big games. And just my last question before I pass it over to Joe. Obviously, we are familiar with these Croatian players, and, you know, it's going to be so hard to try to put a starting 11. But I will ask you this, Anthony. What is your starting 11 for this Croatian side heading into the World Cup? And really, what do you expect from this Croatian side that many people perhaps aren't familiar of? Obviously, we've seen the players week in and week out in the top European leagues, but perhaps not as a big unit. So I just want your thoughts on this Croatian scene and really what to expect from them heading into Russia.
I think the coach is going to probably play, like, if we're going to have more possession, let's say against Iceland or Nigeria, he's probably going to play a more offensive left back in Strinic. If we're playing a team like Argentina, who's dangerous in the wings, he'll probably play a guy like Domagoj Vida at left back like he did against Ukraine. And then we'll probably play with Lovren and Čorluka as the back two. On the right with Vrsaljko from Atletico Madrid. And then in the middle with Rakitic next to, that's going to be a challenge. I like Kovacic. I just love him as a player. So I'd love to see Kovacic start there. And then Modric in the free roll. Wide left, Perisic. Wide right, Piazza. And up top with Kramaric. That's what I'd like to see as a starting lineup, which I'm not sure if the coach will agree with that, but I think this team has the experience and ability to really make a deep run. I think anything less than a quarterfinal would be a disappointment for me. I said the same thing at the Euros, which we got knocked out of the round of 16 by Portugal. But I think we have a good chance of making a run if things come together with the coach, the players, the unity. It could be very, very good.
And you'd bring Mandzukic off the bench?
I would.
Okay.
I would. I Kramaric is, from what I've seen him with Croatia, he's just such a dangerous player. And I mean, I was at the Euro last Euro, and Mandzukic was just so disappointing in that last big tournament that I would rather put him in the last 30 minutes, you know, and swing balls into him. But if the Croatian team is so technical that I think that a technical player like Kramaric or Kalinic actually suits us better going forward.
And I think, you know, just looking at Mandzukic, and like you said, he's a big target man, I think he would pose problems for the central defenders of Argentina where, you know, that might, you know, the last 30 minutes of a match, the match is 0-0, maybe 1-1, that might be a strong
play. Yeah, you put in a fresh Mandzukic and you whip some balls into him and you know, if we can't play, you know, 1-2 touch football.
Yeah. Definitely, no doubt about it. So I want to look ahead now to the expectations for this team. You know, given that they're highly talented all the way from top to bottom, but they're in quite a difficult group in Group D. Many would call this group the group of death. What's a reasonable expectation for this team in this World Cup?
Like I said, I think all Croatia fans expect us to go through the first round, mm-hmm. and I really think that mentally and ability wise, we have, you know, we should get through hopefully to at least the quarters. I mean, anything less than that, I would be disappointed with personally.
Okay.
So yeah. We'll just have to see, you know, how ready these players are when World Cup, you know, comes around. Hopefully we don't have any key injuries by then because the season's still going right now.
Right. Now, you know, this team is definitely talented enough. What would a World Cup victory mean to the people of Croatia, especially given that this team, I think, is certainly capable of pulling something like that off?
I mean, I placed $100 bet on it in Vegas. I'm not going to lie. I think the odds are 30-1. So I was like, it'll be a fun bet. But I mean, I think it's right now it's a dream. You know, it's far from that happening. And I mean, is it possible? Anything's possible.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it, but you know, we'll just have to see. I think they asked, somebody asked the coach that, and he didn't even want to really answer it. He just kind of left it alone, you know. I think he just wants to take one game at a time and move forward.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you know the team is definitely capable of doing it. It's just, you know, do you get those lucky bounces that every team needs to get from one end of the World Cup to the other and raise the trophy on July 15th.
Well, so. It's just crazy when you think about it. I think it's seven teams have won it. I mean, right. It's pretty incredible how many World Cups there's been, and only seven teams have managed to win it.
No doubt about it.
You always see the same teams up there, and it's I don't think it's just by chance. You know, it's they're doing the right things to get there.
Germany's.
It seems like they're in every semifinal of the World Cup.
Yeah, that's a standard landing spot for them, I think. That's
no matter what their team's like, they're always in the semis.
No.
It's just crazy.
True story. So, gentlemen, I do want to thank you both for joining me tonight and helping me break down the Croatian national team. So, again, from This Week in Football, from the makers of Low Limit Football on the All In Sports Talk Network, I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, and good night.